all about the pendants, baby.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.
Welcome to We Are Technologies User Friendly with host Bill Sickens, technology architect.
And this is User Friendly. I am your host, Bill Sickens. We are here with our special live show from the San Diego Comic-Con, and a lot of exciting stuff going on down here. Just too much to talk about even in an intro. Way to sum it up, lots of people, lots of stuff, lots of artists, and lots of fun things to do. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to User Friendly. This is our live from the San Diego Comic-Con show, and we are going to be talking a lot about the experiences we had, and a good place to start would probably be the beginning. So we're going to go live to the show floor here in just a second to talk about our first impressions, and you know, sometimes first impressions aren't always completely great. So with that introduction, here we are.
So, Nihilus, what is your first impression?
My first impression is that I would like to force choke the cosplayers that got in trouble yesterday.
Yeah, that was really weird. I know I was standing in line, you were in line, and I was waiting for you for like 20 minutes as they zip-tied your lightsaber to your belt.
Yeah, that means Nihilus has to wear the belt all the time with the lightsaber dangling off. It's not designed to do that.
On a more positive note, I've seen a couple of Nihiluses for the first time.
Yeah, I just had my photo taken with one.
Oh, that's cool. So what's your feeling?
It seems like a regular, everyday Comic-Con. You know, there's a line to get in, a line for checking weapons, a line for everything else. They need to turn the AC down just a little. But it's, you know, row after row of convention space with booth after booth after booth, and just a ton of people looking at every single thing. And it's been pretty cool.
Actually, the booths are really nice.
I have to say, everybody that I've talked to in the booths have been incredibly friendly. And once you get used to the people, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's very crowded. But yeah, everybody's been really nice.
I just know I'm going to go Sith if I have to keep carrying this 40-pound bag with me the rest of the day.
Yeah, well, join the club. I've got this long thing attached to my leg.
This is a family show.
I wasn't expecting to have my lightsaber tied to my belt, so that was kind of annoying. But we could zip tie it to the bag, but I mean, we have to zip tie it down because they don't want to swing in the lightsabers at everybody, but I wasn't going to in the first place.
Well, they did make an offer for an option for putting it into like a collect it back later.
A checked area, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, my saber is kind of expensive and kind of precious to me, and I just can't do that.
That's one of those things where one person can screw it up for everybody, certainly, but I just can't get over how huge this place is. You look at the line, the signs going down the row hanging from the ceiling, and it almost gives you vertigo.
Oh, yeah. But like the booths and everything, they're beautifully done. I mean, these people have gone all out. The Star Wars booth was amazing. The Hasbro one was pretty cool.
Yes, it was.
And we've got so many more to see.
It was kind of fun that even on Saturday you were able to get some of the limited edition stuff.
Yes, we did.
So, what did you end up getting?
Well, we were looking for the Hasbro exclusive, the Star Wars Black figures, and I wasn't expecting to be able to get any of them because I'd heard, you know, you got to get in line to get a ticket, to get a thing, to show up later. But I was talking to somebody at the Hasbro booth, looking at the things that they have on display, like, oh, this will be available in the fall. And I said, well, is there any way I can buy anything? And she's like, oh, yeah, if you just go around the corner to the sales booth, you can buy all the stuff. And I was like, even the exclusive? She's like, yeah. So we ran over there, and I was able to get the exclusive Luke with the land speeder and the exclusive Luke, old Luke and Rey for training in their training outfits for the new movie that comes out this Christmas.
Well, that is really cool. All right, we'll check back in a little bit.
Well, that was interesting. I know that as we got through it, things got a little bit easier, but it was kind of frustrating when we first got there with all of that.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
So, you know, I think sometimes it is very, very true that in any kind of a situation like this, one or two people can either make it great or make the experience start out not so great, which seems to be the way it is here. Now, I know that it wasn't intentional that security did what they did and all of that, but it was a reaction. We'll talk about that in a little more detail a little later on in the hour here, but that was interesting. But it did get better. And as such, when it did, we were able to actually get in and kind of walk around a little bit. And the first stop on the Comic-Con floor that we saw was the Star Wars booth. So what was your impression on that?
Which one? There was two of them.
Okay, this the one that I'm thinking of would be the first one we walked into, which was built out like a little room, and you went inside, and there was the one with the giant video screen.
Oh, point. Where they had all the action figures, and...
No, yeah. That's the other one.
That was the other one?
The one we went into with the giant screen.
Oh, where they had the they Her had Universe stuff to yeah. one side? Yeah.
Yeah, they did have more than one booth there.
Okay, that's why I was confused.
And Hasbro had three.
And you also, everybody has to understand that in the costume I was wearing, I only have 50% of my eyesight. So everything was a little bit toned down.
Right.
I understand that from when I do the Wookiee suit. It certainly is part of the game.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I'll start out with the first thing I saw, and I'm going to have to do this for my own safety, say it this way, but it was the second best Mohawk I've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
I never saw him.
No, neither did I.
That's impressive.
Yeah, his hair was about 12 inches up. And one side of the Mohawk had the Rebel logo, and the other side had a Stormtrooper.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, you showed me the picture, and that was pretty excellent.
It is pretty impressive.
He seemed like he was very happy to have that photograph. So, now you guys in there, I know we're watching a video for a game that is coming up. What was that about?
That was the new version of Knights of the Old Republic with updated graphics, and I don't know if it's the same storyline or not, because I don't play that game.
Oh, that, okay.
That I know really nicely thing that looked like a film.
The one that I was surprised you guys hadn't seen.
Yes.
Yeah, where it looked like she was a knight, and there was a kid, and the kid was changed into a Sith. And
okay, so this is the free-to-play version that's coming out then.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't know.
I believe so. Okay. Not that there's officially going to be a reboot on the original Knights of the Old Republic, but I don't think that's been announced yet, certainly not officially.
Oh, okay.
So,
we can always hope.
Yep. No, but the video was the free-to-play version that's coming up, and I don't know if that's going to be a tablet game or a PC game or both, but it is definitely the next iteration of this that we're going to see right around the corner.
It would almost seem like it would be a larger screen game because there's so much to look at. The little video was beautiful. You know, it was like watching a film. Yeah,
well, the screen was large enough for that, too.
Yeah, I tell you, my next television, I could deal with something like that, 50-foot screen.
Well, if you build your own, it might work.
Yeah, there you are. But anyway, the booth itself was, I thought, an incredible setup, and they had all kinds of things going on. And Jeremy, you went and looked over at some of the action figures, and I know we're in that line. I'm not quite sure what you were doing over there.
Okay, well, in the booth with the large video screen, I bought an exclusive pop figure, which is the little bobblehead things. It was
Ahsoka.
A Rebels version of Ahsoka.
Okay.
And I could have gotten it signed if I was able to make it back at 3:00. And they gave me the special bag for Her Universe so that I could put the pop figure in the bag and take it and get it signed.
Oh. Is that where the purple bag was from?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, but we didn't actually make it back anywhere near there at 3:00.
Yeah.
But then the second Star Wars booth was the where they had the displays of all the things that they're going to come out with.
Right.
I can't think of the name of the thingy. It's the Force of Destiny.
Oh, the dolls.
All the dolls for the Force of Destiny stuff. And all the other stuff that they're coming out with. They had display after display after display.
And I believe, to be politically correct, we're supposed to call those action figures, not dolls.
These were dolls.
These look like dolls.
They're literally dolls.
That's what they look like.
Yeah, okay. They look like dolls to me. I mean,
are
still,
they the ones
they
with the Chewbacca
action
that had the really weird face?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Those are dolls.
Those are dolls.
And you can tell the Wookiee is upset because he didn't think the Wookiee was done to his satisfaction.
I'm not sure I liked the face either.
Yeah, it was a little odd, but the Wookiees are hard.
Well, and these are also prototypes, so maybe they'll fix it between now when they actually go into production.
I wasn't happy with Sabine's hair, though I really liked Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
And the Loth Cat with her.
Yeah, the Loth Cat was cute.
Yeah.
And that was interesting as we nitpick all this apart. Now, the book part of the Star Wars booth.
That's where I went.
That's where you went. That's the one where they put your picture up on Del Rey's Twitter feed in your Darth Nihilus.
Yes. Yeah.
Costume.
Yeah.
Was that part of the first Star Wars or the second Star Wars booth, or was that its own thing?
I think it was its own thing.
It was, because it was part of Del Rey Publishing.
Ah, okay. Yeah. See, I really went. I went there to get the Phasma book. Which I was told that's not yet available. And then I go, oh well, how about give me the book with the droids on it, you know, from a certain point of view. Oh no, that's not available yet. And I'm like, well, I've got all these other books. Wait a minute, here's the Battlefront 2 book, and I think that's the one I ended up with.
It is, because we had to get a special. They gave me the special wristband.
Yeah,
and we had to come back after 12 o'clock so that we could get the book.
Yeah, and then the thing was, is if we'd been able to make it back, we would have been able to have Christy Golden give us a special, you know, like sign it with a like personalized.
So right, it was autographed, but it didn't have the personalization.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But it
has a fancy book cover on it. Yeah. I haven't dug everything out from our trip yet.
Neither have I.
No, that's really cool. I know we got another book that was a sample or something.
Yeah, and that was free.
Yeah.
It was a little paperback, so I'm going to love that.
And one side is several different chapters from different Star Wars novels, and the other side is different chapters from other books that they publish.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of you get to read a sampling of all the different books they have.
Oh, cool.
Well, that in of itself is probably a unique thing to have. I mean, you certainly couldn't buy that.
Oh, no.
You know, and speaking of, that was one of the bummers. I wanted the book bag. And
I find your lack of books disturbing.
Yeah, and we couldn't get one, and they were out or going to be
you
out.
Had to, you know, you had to buy $25 worth of stuff to get the bag.
Yeah, and he also said they were out of them. So it was one of those things. And then
I probably got one of the last ones.
Yeah, and I found them online this morning, but starting at, I think, $80 or something for just the bag.
Ow.
So
I'm not selling my bag.
Anyway, so that was the Star Wars booth, and then we kind of wandered on from there. And the one, you know, first thing that I would also say is this place, it was just huge. Compared to the other Comic-Cons that we've gone to, it just was massive, you know?
Well, yes, and I have a photo. We actually made it down to one side of the whole arena thing. I mean, they went from 1 to well over to 5,000. That's a lot of rows.
Yeah. Yeah, though that definitely is.
And I have the photo, and it looks like it just goes on forever.
All right, well, so we'll talk about what we saw in some of the other rows when we come back from the break here. This is User Friendly. One User Friendly on Facebook, one User Friendly on Twitter, userfriendlyshow.com. Check us out. We are going to be producing one more show for this season, which will air next week. And then we have a couple of weeks break, and we're going to be back right after Labor Day. So we're going to be doing some best of. Check it out. UserFriendlyShow.com. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to User Friendly. If you live in Northern California, from August 10th to 20th, Feld Entertainment is going to be presenting Marvel Universe Live, Age of Heroes. Check out their website for the different locations and the specifics of the times of the shows. Joining us next week on our show is going to be members of their cast and crew to talk about what it takes to put on a live show like that. Looking forward to that. That'll be next week here on User Friendly. But this week is our live from the San Diego Comic-Con show. And we were just talking about what we were experiencing on the floor before the break, and had just talked about the Star Wars booth, which seems to be a favorite around here. But I know that there was just a lot of other things in the arena to look at and wander around, and we certainly didn't even have a chance to see all of it. One of the ones that really caught my impression was a booth from something called Stuff of Dreams.
I really enjoyed their booth. I was attracted to the 12-inch action figures. And then what it was they had a display of all their figures that they had been making, and all the prototypes for the stuff that they were going to be making. So they had a lot of little statues and then a lot of 12-inch figures, and they had the whole original cast from the Star Trek original series.
It sounds incredible. Let's go live to the show floor where we talked about this a little bit there.
So we are at a booth called the Stuff of Dreams, where they have done a lot of handmade, just really cool things. But one of the things that stands out, especially for our fans from Star Trek and CBS, is a Mirror Universe Tribble.
Oh, yeah. Those were really creepy.
And it looks like something you'd have for Halloween, kind of like a gremlin, maybe, or something with teeth. Yeah, still fuzzy, but...
It had sharp teeth. Like, if you were to stick a finger near it, it would bite you.
Absolutely, absolutely. But there's some other figures here. A Captain Kirk chair, which is 1/6 scale, which is really cool. And some figures, a Daredevil. And the way that it's set up is only the boot is actually connected to the frame that it stands on. So it looks like it's going to fall over, but it's done some really, really, really cool stuff.
And I still think one of my favorite things about that was the Mirror Universe Tribble.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I mean, it looked like something out of, I don't know where.
Well, it was the Mirror Universe where things were just a little off.
Well, I mean, it was still soft and fuzzy. It just looked like it would eat you.
Yeah, it did have visible teeth.
So I really liked the Captain Kirk with his chair set up. That was nice.
The fact that the chair lit up and had sound effects was pretty cool to me, too.
Yeah, and there was a lot of detail in everything they did there. I think it's interesting. It was too bad you couldn't really buy anything, though, because it was all prototype.
Well, actually, you could have bought the Captain Kirk figure and a couple of the other ones, but they were $200.
Right, right.
You know, if you'd planned for it, that would have been great. But, like, the detail, the James Doohan figure, the Scotty figure, was actually missing middle finger on his right hand.
Right.
Just like James Doohan.
Right.
So they didn't just cast a hand and, oh, it's Scotty's
hand. No, there
was
a lot of detail. I mean, I completely...
it was spectacular.
I completely agree with that. And then one of the other booths I know we walked by was the Warner Brothers booth. And it looked like they were filming something live on their set there.
I think that's where they did a lot of the signings.
Yeah, it looked like it.
Because I know as we were walking by, they were getting ready for one, and people were wiping down all the tables and setting up like packs of pens and everything.
So, in fact, let's go live to the floor and see what we thought about it at the booth when we were actually standing there.
We're now walking past the giant booth from Warner Brothers, and got a cool setup signing for Krypton. I think is what that says, and set up for Lucifer, and they're doing an interview with somebody. A million people around. Krypton, yeah, I knew I was saying that word wrong. But it is absolutely amazing. The second floor kind of suite in the booth.
And I know, you know, walking around and seeing some of the different other booths, so one of the last ones we'll talk about is a Lego booth, because that one was kind of a big deal. What are some of the other things that you remember from the floor?
Okay, they had the Blizzard booth was a giant gaming thing over in the corner. Mm-hmm. There was also a giant section of all the different companies that made the gaming over in that corner. And the Hasbro booth was big for me. The Star Wars booth was big.
So we haven't really talked about the Hasbro booth. What did you find in there?
Well, I was, I started looking online, figuring out how I was going to be able to get the stuff that I wanted. Because, you know, it's exclusive. They only have it at Comic-Con. And I didn't want to, you know, miss out and then have to buy it for three or four times the price online and later. But when we got there, I was surprised I was able to just walk right up, and they had the Luke and Landspeeder set, and they still had sets of the old Luke and Rey from the Last Jedi movie figures. They had them all available. It was just kind of cool.
That was kind of cool. I have to admit, I was disappointed that Thrawn was already gone, but, you know, hey, he's Thrawn. Of course he's gone.
Of course.
But the other figures, especially the one with Luke, the shirt that he's wearing is actual fabric.
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought that was cool, too. I found, you know, the people that were working out there, especially for dealing with this many people in the crowd, were really friendly.
They were really nice.
Very organized and able to just really make the day for you.
I don't think I ran into one person at any of the booths that were rude or angry or frustrated. They were all really nice.
They were. And some of the nicest people I met were at booths I hadn't expected to visit. Because we were walking past one, and it was kind of like, oh, hey, look. That's a whole booth of fidget spinners.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the fidget spinner booth.
Well, okay. They had hundreds of different designs. That was the thing that I was kind of shocked by, is I didn't think they'd actually gone that far. Because it's like, oh, it's a fad. No, they had everything. They had designs with all the different superheroes. They had all the different shapes. They had different patterns. And I actually got one that was a Harry Potter Golden Snitch.
I love that.
It's adorable.
It is adorable.
Now that sounds really cool. I mean, there was some betting going on how long that fad would last. I know that when we were down in Sacramento, someone was wearing a costume of a giant fidget spinner because they didn't think it would last until Halloween. But I don't know. It seems like it's holding on for a little bit longer than expected.
I think it's going to.
I think it's going to last. It may not be like the trendy deal that it is right now, but I don't think it's necessarily going to go away.
Yeah, I think everybody and their cousin's going to get out their 3D printers and their CNC machines, and they're going to cast everything they can think of, and they're going to sell as many things as they can get away with.
I know one of the booths that I found interesting was that one out of London where they had the props from all of the different movies that they were going to be auctioning off a little later in the year at a live auction.
That was cool.
And they had some stuff that was interesting. And I still remember walking in there, and we'd walked what felt like 50 miles, and the carpet had padding under it, and it just felt so good. And the first comment we made was, "We love your carpet." And he's all, "Well, the props are cool too." And I'm kind of like, "There's props in here?" You know?
That's the one that had was it the spacesuit from?
Yes.
Okay.
The Martian. Yeah, Matt Damon's spacesuit.
And there was some other gear there. It was a
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Batman. No, I don't remember what all they had, but it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, you could just sit there and you're just staring at everything.
I know he said everything they had was either screen worn in the movies that they came from, or used in the production in some way. And you're looking at minimum opening bids of 20,000 British pounds, which I don't know if my math's completely right, but I know that's over 25,000 US dollars.
It does scale proportionately, but yeah, it was neat.
And they had a contest you could enter where you got $250 free, and I think that might be the cost to sign up for the auction.
I don't think I'd be able to get a clothespin from one of them.
So, then the other one, like we were talking about a little earlier, was the Lego booth, and that one was really kind of this fully interactive, just...
I really liked that one.
Yeah, it was colorful. It was happy. The kids were there. The parents were there. Everybody was there.
And we had the life-size figure of Thor and others. And in fact, why don't we go to the floor and see what our thoughts were actually at the booth?
The Lego booth is obviously, you know, they sell Legos, brick events. But what we got here is they've got a life-size, looks like 5.5-6 foot tall,
Samurai
from the Ninjago movie. He's the evil Dark Lord. They've got a Lego brick creation of him. Just to the side of that, we've got kids playing Lego video games. Just to the front of this whole thing, we've got people. They got dozens of bins of bricks with everybody just building all kinds of cool things. And around the edges of this whole thing, there's displays of all their Lego products. So, I mean, this is a completely interactive thing. We've got kids playing. We've got adults playing. It's just pretty spectacular for a booth here at Comic-Con.
I love to see this. Legos is one of those toys that has just endured. And I know growing up I had this stuff and I just enjoyed creating and building. And I think it's where I got a lot of my love to actually do engineering.
And spatial relations, abstract thinking. It's all about creativity.
Because I can remember as far back as kindergarten, they'd had a big box of Legos and being able to just go through that and spend time and kind of, you know, anything you could dream, you could build.
Yeah, we had the same thing, and I wanted Legos so bad as a kid, but my mom thought Legos were boys' toys, so I never got them. So now they have Legos for girls, and it's an inclusive thing.
I am so glad we don't have as much. I mean, they're not gone, but those divisions anymore. And looking at the booth here, it's everybody from all walks of life just absolutely loves this stuff.
It's great. I love it.
So, Jeremy, what did you have these things growing up?
Oh, yeah, I had Legos. I remember specific events, I had a fireman station, and was having a problem building it, and my mom had to help me build it, put the whole thing together, following the instructions, and I think after about 20 minutes after we got it together, I tore it apart.
How funny is that, I tell you. I know when I got these, it was just you got a box with the bricks, but now they have all these kits. You can even build robotics and things that move, and just all kinds of stuff. How many people would you say are in here?
Rough count, I'd say about 100.
Yeah, at least. That is just absolutely incredible. So now photoing, we've got these life-size Lego statues of different characters, and right now is Luke Skywalker, and our own Darth Nihilus here is going to be photoed with him in just a moment. We also have Thor and the Flash. I wonder how many bricks go into something like that.
Probably a couple thousand.
I would agree. A couple thousand at least.
Okay, so, you know, I think all the kids having fun was really cool, and I loved Legos growing up, so that was just a very fun and interesting thing to see. And from my understanding, the blocks they were building were actually being used for the figure up in the front eventually.
Yeah, they had, it's from the new Lego Ninjago movie. Hope I'm saying that right, Ninjago.
I think so.
They had the statue of the evil overlord guy completed, and they were building, I think, the statue of
probably the
son.
Yeah.
And I don't remember his name, but I'm sure that somebody will complain about that. But they had sections. You'd build this, build that, build this. And it was just like rows and rows and rows of black bricks.
Yeah.
I know I made the comment on the floor, but I still have to wonder how many bricks are involved and all of that.
I'm sure if we'd asked, they probably would have told us.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. You know, if anybody knows, email us or send it to us on social media. I'd love to see what the numbers are from all of that. So I know one of the other things, too, that was interesting was our point of getting lunch, and we'll talk about that in the downside segment coming up here a little bit, but that was something to see on the floor. We met a very interesting lady that was, I think they were just for people watching.
That was kind of surprising.
So that was kind of cool to see. And we're going to talk about Artist Alley a little bit later as well, but is there anything else you want to talk about that you saw on the convention floor?
No, I don't think so. I think we already mentioned all the other booths.
Okay. I mean, there was just a ton of stuff. And
there's so many things that we missed.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you can't see it all in a short time. So
no,
definitely is something where you want to pick and choose wisely, as they would say, and then be able to figure that out. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is User Friendly. Welcome back to User Friendly. This is our live from San Diego Comic-Con special show. And we've just been talking about some of the different things that we saw on the show floor. And the next thing is, really, how did this compare? I mean, it is, from my understanding, the biggest Comic-Con in the world. And it was our first time there, so we're certainly looking at it from a standpoint of that. But we're not exactly new to Comic-Cons in general or cosplay. Gretchen, what's your feeling on that?
It was very crowded. That was one of the things. And I found like the space was very compressed. That was one of the things that I noticed that was really different. Another aspect that I noticed that was different was that the booths were more intense. It was like going to Comdex. Or what's the now modern version of the electronic show?
Actually, there's several of them, but probably like E3.
E3, okay. Because
yeah.
I haven't been to E3, but... it's that massive built-up booth where it is such an impressive sight, and there were multiples of these. And the smaller Comic-Cons didn't seem to have as many of those. While here at the San Diego Comic-Con, it was like there were multiples of these huge, massive booth setups.
So, Jeremy, if you had to compare this to, say, the Silicon Valley Comic-Con that we did a while ago, what would your reaction to that be?
Oh, this one was so much larger. It's not funny. I mean, it was numbered from rows 100 down to 5,000. Usually, when we go to a Comic-Con, it's 100 through 500.
Okay, so that
quite a bit more space, and you know, okay, so there's four alleys, and then you know, row 100, and then 200 and whatnot. So there's you know maybe 50, 60 booths. There were so many. I mean, hundreds of booths, thousands of people, and it's just like everywhere you look, there's like, oh, I didn't see that before. Oh, I just walked by here and I didn't see that. How did I not see that? I was right here a second ago.
And if you saw someone like, oh, wow, that's cool cosplay, hey, and you turned around to a friend to get them to see it, the person was gone.
Yeah, I noticed that several times.
Yeah, I wanted you to see Cobra Commander.
Yeah, you mentioned it, and I turned around and looked, and I could not see him.
And Cobra Commander disappeared.
I know it was one of the things I saw that was different, too, and again, using the San Jose Silicon Valley one as a comparison, was seemed to be what was presented. That particular con had a lot more emphasis on technology. As for example, I don't think there was a booth from NASA at the San Diego one.
No,
so some of those things. So you actually do get a little bit of a difference in what you can do and what you can interact with on the different shows. So it's not like if you go to San Diego, you shouldn't go to the others because you've already seen it.
Definitely the Silicon Valley one was very different.
Yeah, there's stuff here that you could never see anywhere else because they don't go to these other Comic-Cons.
And I think that probably works both ways to some extent. And I do agree with you. The crowds were the one big thing I noticed. Everything, literally everything, was standing in a line. And I'm not sure if that's really a positive, but it was the way that it was. I could not believe the size of the panel line outside.
That's true.
It was the Disney-style rope-back, loop-back type thing, and it ran the entire front and side of the convention center building.
Yeah, and yeah. And we had actually had a friend who was trying to get in and never managed it.
Yeah.
And then I find that surprising. It's just like, wow, you could not get into a panel.
Which is too bad, because they've got some unique panels that you're not going to see anywhere else either, you know. But
so either you go to a panel, or you just spend all day wandering around the convention.
Yeah.
You can't do both.
Yeah.
It would seem like if you have to make that choice, you can watch the panel online.
Yeah.
So there is at least that option, and then you can experience the rest of the convention. But, I thought that was interesting. I definitely think that there were less cosplayers.
I agree.
I agree.
What I was expecting to see. It seemed like, for whatever reason, and we'll get into what could be some of the detail on this a little bit later in the show, but in all reality, the bulk of the cosplayers seemed to be outside. They didn't come into the actual floor. Some did.
Yeah, well, I noticed a lot of the people outside when we went to get our con shirts, because that was in a separate building.
And that's a different part of the show.
One of the things, that was a different part of the county. But anyway, the thing of it is that I found very interesting is at a convention this size, and if somebody else was out there, please feel free to email and correct me on this, but I think I was the only person playing Emperor Palpatine there.
When I searched through to see other pictures of other cosplayers at the event, there was a guy who was dressed as one of Emperor Palpatine's court.
Yeah, the guys that the kind of guy in the bluish red.
Yeah. And so there was somebody who you could have interacted with, which would have been really cool, but we never encountered him.
Well, we had the one guy that was dressed in the Anakin costume, which was really kind of cool.
That was fun.
Yeah.
We have pictures of that.
Yeah.
In fact, I think if it's not already, we'll put it out on Twitter, but that was really cool, and he was really cool to work with. And that's another thing, too, that you run into. Not all cosplayers are actors, of course, and so it's interesting. You run into somebody that's really able to pull off the role and somebody that isn't. So you just play it, make sure that it looks right on film, and you're good at the end of the day. I know I was a little tongue-tied on that one myself, and it does happen sometimes, you know. But he was really good at playing his role.
He was wandering around carrying a sign that said, "I hate sand." So, yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I have to kind of totally agree with him on that, but for other reasons. So anyway, the bottom line of it is that I would have thought we would have seen a lot more people in costume. What we did see were great.
Mm-hmm. There were some really...
Oh, there was one gal who I thought was adorable. She was dressed as Princess Leia with wings and a halo.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
She was pretty.
I was about to take a photo and she was gone.
Yeah.
It was like...
That's a kind of a neat little tribute. And
there were a lot of Leias. And actually, I think there was supposed to have been like a special, I don't know whether it was a panel or a gathering in honor of Carrie Fisher.
No, that is really cool. I know I saw a couple of other, what are you called? Lord of Hunger?
Darth Nihilus. Yeah. You know, the weird thing is people kept thinking I was Darth Revan.
Oh, I
totally different mask, totally different outfit.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. They're different, completely like, different.
Okay. You know, and I
can understand the one that one is, Kabuki.
Yeah.
But not, Darth Revan.
Now, I know a while back I'd gotten into a bit of an argument, or not argument, but conversation with somebody. There's two different ways to cosplay Darth Nihilus, and one is the way that you do it,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is what the those that are involved in creating Star Wars tend to call the zombie version of it, which I think is from the second game that didn't quite take off as well as the first one did.
I think it's the shredded, almost looking like a Jedi long Jedi robes version.
Something like that, yeah. But everybody I saw at San Diego did it the way that you did it. So
maybe it's just more popular because that was the game that was successful.
Yeah, or maybe more than what people see, but that kind of a thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that because, like they say, hopefully it'll become canon again. And as all of that's, bumped around and that type of a thing, be interesting to see what happens. Although after the video that we were talking about earlier in the show in the Star Wars booth, I think it probably will be.
Well, I don't even know if that video has anything to do with Nyla's.
Yeah, that was hard to say. Yeah. It was just about that lady and her kid.
Yeah, and the little girl becomes a Sith. So it might be just a conflict between those two.
I know that there's a lot of hope for this. If you read the comments on Del Rey's Twitter feed under your picture that was posted by them, everybody's hoping that this will come back. In fact, a few people were hoping that the book that they were commenting on might have Darth Nihilus in it. So it'll be interesting to see what'll happen with that. But I think that people are hopeful that that character does come back. And I think you pull them off really cool.
Oh,
so
thank you.
It looked pretty good on that. So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about what kind of stuff we got. What was the swag? This is User Friendly. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to User Friendly. One User Friendly on Twitter, one User Friendly on Facebook. We say it all the time. There are other User Friendlies, but we are number one. Join us online and let us know what you want to hear. Get involved in the conversation. That's how we get our topics. This week, we are doing our special Live from Comic-Con show, and we're actually just starting to talk about one of the more important areas, and that is Comic-Con swag.
Swag!
So, I know that I didn't get anything, but what did you guys get from the show? Jeremy?
Okay, well, I bought a bunch of stuff because that's what I usually do at Comic-Cons, but I was there specifically for some of the cool action figures and some of the cool lapel pins.
And I had two things that I wanted to get, and I was only able to get one.
All right, well, tell us about those.
Well, I wanted Admiral Thrawn in the special, you know, setup where he has all of his art stuff. This was a Hasbro 6-inch figure that I had wanted.
Right.
And I guess they sold out the day before.
Yeah, they did.
But so anyways, my other goal was to go to the Del Rey Star Wars section and get a book.
Now, we've been talking a little bit about that because your picture ended up on Del Rey's website. So what is the book that you wanted to get?
I wanted to get the Phasma one. Actually, I probably would have bought the Phasma and the From a Certain Point of View and Battlefront too. So I would have bought all three.
Right.
Because what I do is every night, I read every night part of a Star Wars book, and that's what I just do.
Now, why didn't you buy all three?
Because two of them weren't available yet.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
So which one did you get?
I got the Battlefront 2, and I got like a special edition version.
Cool. And we were talking about earlier that it was autographed, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And it had special end papers and an embossed cover.
So this is a special Comic-Con edition.
Right.
Okay, so if you were to buy it after it's available just at the bookstore or on Amazon or something.
I don't think you could get it.
You won't get the special cover, and you won't get the embossed end or the end papers.
So, Jeremy, tell us a little bit about what you actually got.
Okay, well, I managed to find the Star Wars 40th anniversary pins from Toink. I don't know how I'm saying that right. Toy NK. Toink. And they had a lot of pins I was looking for, so I got those. I managed to get some of the Hasbro exclusives, which was kind of cool because I didn't think I'd get any of them. Luke and the Landspeeder was pretty neat.
That was cool.
It comes in a display box, so you can actually sit there and look at it without taking it out and playing with it. I mean, you know, part of the fun is to take it out. It's like, oh, look, Luke and his Landspeeder. But, you know, you're not supposed to because that ruins something or other.
I think it's the value, but okay.
It's still valuable to me,
yeah.
Whether it's in the box or not.
And I was hoping to get Thrawn, but coming up to the Comic-Con, I didn't think I would be able to because they had some kind of thing where you line up at a certain spot, and then they might change the spot, and then you might not get the ticket to get the thing to show up at a certain time to buy the toy. So I wasn't expecting to be able to buy any of them.
Right.
But, you know, we walked right up to it, and it's like, oh, yeah, come on in. Okay, cool. So I got the Landspeeder, and then I bought the Luke and Rey.
Yeah, those are nice too.
I didn't see the set before, but I saw it there, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll buy that. And then the Lego booth had a bunch of cool stuff inside, and I thought I was going to get the exclusive. They're called Brickheads, And it's like a build a you square little model of a Star Wars character or
right.
a DC character or whatever. But, you know, I'm not really into those things. But I walked in and I saw that they had the Slave One for Boba Fett for Legos. And, you know,
which you've been wanting for a
wanting
long,
for a while.
Long time.
Yeah, it's fun to walk up to a store and say, it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, no, they don't have it. Oh, bummer. Or it's not on sale, or it's just, you know, not available anywhere except you buy it online.
And so that was a big happy surprise.
It was cool,
for
yeah. I wasn't expecting to buy that. And I also got a set of the Cards Against Humanity updates.
Okay.
Because I was going to buy them anyway, but it's like they were there. So it's kind of like, oh, well, we'll buy them now because I can see them.
Now that's cool. I know that, you know, as far as all of this stuff goes, the Lego set in a very unusual thing for a convention was actually less money.
It was.
Than the purchasing at the store, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, I was shocked, which is actually why I bought it. Because it's like, I would have paid more if I'd bought it at the store. But I'm here at Comic-Con. Oh, yeah, hope I can get it home.
Right, yeah, it
and
was
I
a
made
giant
the
box.
Mistake of offering, oh, Jeremy, you got all those bags. Here, let me carry that for you. Oh, my gosh, this is heavy.
I just remember it was giant. And
it was huge.
It was big. Well, in addition to the stuff that you guys bought, I know we got some free stuff and... also got T-shirts from the convention, and the free stuff was kind of interesting. It was a bag, and
well, it's a large carrying bag that actually kind of functioned like a backpack.
Yeah,
which was that's new for me. I've never seen those before.
Right? And a lot of people were using them that way.
Yeah, but there were 20 versions.
Oh wow!
So there's one side that's all the same, and then there's 20 versions of cover art, and each bag had a pin attached to it. And there were 6 versions of the pins.
And that was kind of a surprise because we didn't realize that.
No, not at first.
that's cool. So you have different things. And so which bag did you get?
I have the Flash bag.
And you have the Flash pin.
And the Flash pin. Yeah, that was kind of cool.
And I have the Big Bang Theory bag with a Flash pin.
Okay, so the pins weren't even the same because I got the Big Bang Theory bag but with the...
Supergirl.
So So that's kind of cool. Okay, so there were 20 different versions of that.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, the funny thing is we didn't even know about these when we first got to the show.
There's people were walking around with these things, and I was thinking, like, wow, that's a cool idea. I wonder
where did they get those bags.
Yeah. We found it was like on the second floor in the back, which brings me to our next topic. The reason we found them is because before the show we had ordered or pre-ordered T-shirts. And according to the instructions, it was just very simply go to this place and you can pick them up. The thing it didn't tell you is that the place is barely in the same country as the as the convention was.
It was a long walk.
Yeah, well, to put it mildly, it was in the next building and the hotel adjacent to the center.
It was at the Marriott's across the street from the convention center.
And on top of that, we asked several different people where to go for this, and they all gave us a different answer.
Yeah, that was the crazy thing. A lot of people didn't, and these were the people that worked there.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't know where a lot of things were.
Mm-mm.
That was how we ended up on the second floor to find the other things. So I guess there's a good that comes out of that all.
Well, we did get to see a few extra cosplayers.
Yeah.
The guy dressed as Taco Bell.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
I like that. That was funny, but it was a really well pulled off.
Yeah.
He did a very nice job with his Bell outfit.
Yeah.
So speaking of journeying to get all of this stuff, and we finally did get our T-shirts, and once we got down there was also a place finally to take a little break from all of this.
And we didn't get yelled at.
That's
because we were in the Marriott.
Yes.
That's true.
We'll talk about more what we're referring to on that in a little bit here. But there's also the trip to the event itself. And, you know, that was interesting. We've been talking about on the previous shows kind of getting everything ready and getting up to this. And we had it was about an 8.5-hour drive. From where we are to get down to San Diego. And the trip was interesting. The hotels were interesting. All that was a part of just the process and the adventure, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we are sushi lovers, so we found a great sushi restaurant down there. And,
we found two. That was
yeah,
awesome.
That was it in a little town north or east of San Diego called San Marcos?
Yeah, San Marcos off of 15.
Yeah.
And about 20 minutes from the downtown, which is actually where we ended up staying, which was kind of nice. The hotel was wonderful, but it was a little less money. And
what do you mean a little? It was like a tenth of the prices we were quoted.
Yeah, I only took $10
off.
But
the place was really nice.
Yeah.
It was clean, comfortable, and you could tell that they cared about you know, their place.
And they had a pool.
Yeah.
And a hot tub.
Yeah, and the climate down there, I understand why so many people like San Diego. It was just
wonderful. Was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
But some of the food on the road was a little bit interesting, and as these things always are, we ate at what was supposed to be a really nice steakhouse coming down in another city, Bishop, off of 395, which, I mean, the food wasn't terrible, but it was certainly overpriced and not...
it wasn't as great as it could have been.
Yeah, it left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah.
And the food on the in the actual convention center... I ended up having a hot dog, and it was like that was one of the things that was hard was getting lunch. You know,
I have a lot of food allergies, so
we brought snacks.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that they had suggested actually in the instructions for the Comic-Con is that bring snacks. And since I have all these weird food allergies, I brought something with me.
Yeah, and it worked out.
Yeah,
I was surprised by the $4 bottle of water though.
Yeah, those things always are, but. You know, I think as far as all of that went, the trip certainly went smoothly. It wasn't...
Oh, yeah, we didn't have any problems getting down there or parking or getting into the event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just everything that happened right after the event.
Yeah, it all went very, very smoothly. I mean, you know, in the parking, I'm glad you got that space set up. And next year we'll know about the parking lottery.
Yes, we will.
And be able to deal with that in advance. But, you know, all in all, especially for the first time out there, I think it all went pretty good. So,
well, I mean, that's the thing. We managed to get tickets. We managed to get a hotel. We managed to get parking. And we didn't have any problems getting there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a series of successes.
Yeah. So that was really cool. All right. We'll be back after the break to talk about some of the upsides and downsides of what we found in the show itself. This is User Friendly. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to User Friendly. This is our live from San Diego Comic-Con show special. And the next thing that we're going to talk about is the downsides and upsides to what we found at the actual convention. And to get it out of the way, let's start with the downsides. And I know that one of the biggest things had to do with security.
I'm not sure it was actually security, but I mean, at every con, you have to have your weapons checked out to make sure you're not bringing something truly dangerous into the convention.
Right.
And that makes good sense.
Yeah. And what we walked into the thing. It's like, oh, you guys have to have your weapons checked. And it's like, okay, fine. So we walked over to the area and we waited in line.
And they usually put like a sticker or a little zip loop or something on it just to say, yeah, I made sure this wasn't a real ninja sword or a real gun or something or a big sharp knife.
And as we get up to the table, it's like, okay, well, you have to zip tie your lightsaber to your belt. I'm like, wait, what? That's not usually how that works.
Right.
Well, apparently somebody the day before decided to start swinging around their lightsaber, and maybe a couple other people got involved.
We don't know.
We don't know what happened.
So if anybody knows, let us know.
Yeah, so we just had to have our lightsabers zip-tied to our belts.
And my costume is not designed... My belt is not designed to have a lightsaber hanging from it. I always carry it.
My belt is 5 inches wide.
Yeah,
yours isn't designed for anything like that.
Well, you know, it does seem like... as far as security goes, and I know this is a major issue just in general, and we've run into some different things before with some of the other shows on the way that they signify things as being inspected and all that kind of stuff. And since most of the costumes that go along with this do seem to have some kind of a weapon, I can see where they would want to do it. But it seems like if you had some people screwing around, then follow whatever the policy of the convention is and either reprimand them or eject them or whatever it was called for you to do.
Yeah.
But it does seem odd that they would require that of everybody else. I mean, I don't see the connection there because somebody did something at some point. Now everybody else has to do this weird thing.
Yeah.
And the couple in front of us, the young man was dressed as a wizard and he had a walking stick. And the girl had like, I think she was dressed as Maleficent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looked like she made a staff.
Yeah.
And... well, that's part of the costume.
Yeah.
That's how you identify who they are.
And they weren't able to zip tie those to their hands. So they had to check them at the bag check and leave them behind.
Yeah, which of course costs money. And
it did cost money.
Yeah.
You know, I know we weren't the only people to run into problems with this. Some of the people we talked to at the show also had experienced the same things, but one that I will point out is Adam Savage. Now, Adam Savage every year goes to Comic-Con in costume, and the idea being that he, can you identify him? Can you figure out who he is?
Mm-hmm.
And he was even saying he was dressed as...
He was dressed as King Arthur in a full suit of armor.
And he had a foam sword.
And a foam sword.
And he didn't even take the sword in because of, not this, but because of the amount of time it would have simply taken to even get to the weapons check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it seems like that is something that could be handled in a slightly better way.
Yeah. King Arthur without his sword is kind of weird.
Yeah, he was basically just a guy walking around in armor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. One of the second things, too, that I noticed is it would be nice if there was a few places that you could actually stop and take a breath.
Yeah, rest.
And I get that it's busy and stuff, but to have someone's voice screeching at you every time you slow down to lower than 3 miles an hour in your walking speed did get to be a little bit annoying, too. It wasn't even that you were stopping. You were walking, and just the pace of the crowd slowed down, and someone came up and screamed at you.
Yeah. Move along, move along. No stopping.
And I understand that they need to keep the doors secure. I mean, open. Space for the, like, fire security.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, is there wasn't enough space to just stand and pause, talk to your compatriots, figure out where you want to go next,
mm-hmm.
or just stand a few minutes or sit for 5 minutes just to catch your breath, figure out what you want to do next. There wasn't a location like that.
And even the attitude of the security people seemed they could have stood a little bit more training on how to deal with the public.
Well, it could have been something that they'd never worked with crowds that big before.
Perhaps.
Yeah, but you would think Comic-Con's there every year, and that's a big convention center. It's not like it could be that new to them.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I don't know. It just seemed to take away from the
experience. Well, even the place where you could grab a bite to eat, there wasn't enough tables.
No, there was only a third of the tables needed.
And we were so lucky that there was a lady who had a table, and she was willing to share her table with us. She was waiting for her daughter to come back. And so we just sat there for a few minutes. You had your hot dog. I had a cookie that we brought for me. And you had something. And she was really nice.
That was the lady who was there to just look at the crowd.
Yep.
Which was kind of odd.
Yeah. No, but she was an interesting person. I have a feeling she was there with family or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they were off doing their
thing. She was waiting for her daughter to show up.
But she was actually kind of a neat person to just talk to. But one of the other things, too, is I wish there was a better way that they could handle the panels, because I get, and it's something that is just a known fact if you read anything before you go, that getting into panels can be very difficult. But
I'm not sure difficult is the right word.
I mean, that line must have had 25,000 people in it. It was not, and I'm not exaggerating by that. It's what went around the convention center itself.
Maybe they need a lottery.
Or
like what they did with the tickets, where if you want to see that panel, you're in for a lottery. Either you got in or you didn't. And then you wouldn't have to spend hours waiting in that line, missing all of the other things that you could be seeing.
Absolutely.
And that is very true. And it just seems like, I don't know, a lottery would be a better way to do it, signing up something. So you're not missing the whole rest of the show just standing out in front of the building. And understand, the convention center building itself is probably a half mile long.
It's huge.
So this line went zigzagging all the way down the front and all the way down the side. So you're not just talking a small amount of people. There's, in this day and age with modern stuff, there's an app for Comic-Con and all the rest of it. There's got to be a better way to handle that.
Exactly. So, I agree.
So
maybe they can brainstorm.
Yeah, maybe they can, and we'll see what happens in future years. But on the upsides, there were a lot of those too. And I know one of the ones that we've talked about already is the displays. And I think that's something worth revisiting, just because there was so much time and you could tell money and effort put into the setups they had there were just absolutely phenomenal.
One of the displays that I liked, and I didn't even realize it until I saw the photographs, was it was like a giant toy box where you could grab a hold of Thor's hammer and have your photo taken.
Right.
I thought that was really cool.
It was neat. You'd end up being the Marvel toy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, those are also on Twitter, and they really came out kind of cool. And one of the other things that's always a big deal for me at these events is the Artist Alley area. And the Artist Alley here, and I'll make this comment again when we go to the live from the floor, but it was about the size of a whole convention.
It was huge.
Just for that and the other things. And that was where I think we saw some of the most unique stuff. I still have not found my metallic Chewbacca art piece that I wanted that I saw a few years ago and seems to have completely disappeared. But they had a number of other things. So let's go to the floor and see what our comments were from there.
So we're now walking through the Artist's Alley area, which is about the size of one of the other conventions in of itself. It's absolutely incredible. There's probably 50,000 people in here. And some of the stuff is just absolutely incredible. So what kind of artwork are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for some prints of hand art for Marvel Comics characters that I enjoy, or something that just really catches my eye. There's some really neat looking art for the Ninja Turtles that we just passed that I thought was pretty cool. But there's some stuff up here that looks like original characters I haven't seen before, but they look pretty spectacular, so I want to go check out this booth.
All right, so let's see what we can find.
So, Jeremy, I know one of the pictures you got to illustrate the just how big this thing actually was, and you were talking about is how it goes from 100 to 2,000 or something. And
5,000.
5,000. And I think let's also get that up on Twitter. I think people will enjoy seeing it.
Right.
To actually see just how huge this thing was. I know later in the day we were trying to get out to the front. It was actually when we were going to go pick up the T-shirts that we talked about earlier in the other building. And it was like you get back to what you thought was the entrance, but it wasn't the one we came in. And everything was, I mean, there were, what, 5 Starbucks in that building or something?
There's 3 on the map, and I think they added a couple of pop-up ones. But, yeah. I mean, it's like, it was amazing, because there's 5 halls. Or actually, there's more than that, because there's A through H. So A through G was, like, inside the building. H is where they did the convention, the panels, and there were some upstairs where we found the bags. And then the Artist Alley was on the A side. Or no, it was on the G side. It was way out there. And we got through there. I found some cool little, like, 4x5 prints of some Boba Fett stuff that I thought was really cool.
You know, one of the things they should do that idea comes from Silicon Valley is Steve Wozniak there, or when he was moving around, had a Segway. That might not be a bad idea for this convention with to rent them out or something.
With the way people drive, I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, you could certainly have some problems with that.
There would have been so many accidents.
And the next thing, we'll be installing stoplights at the
convention. I got stepped on I don't know how many times.
Well, it's because you have a long cape.
But it doesn't drag on the floor that much unless you are, like, really close to me.
And we were, because we had to be.
Because it was crowded.
Yeah, and if you weren't, everybody just disappeared in like a second. And that was one of the other little things that was odd, and they did warn us about this, and it certainly is true going in. There are so many people that it actually overwhelms the cellular networks, and your phone doesn't work. And it's not because you're out of range, but it's because there's so much traffic going on that you can't get a signal, or if you do, it's busy.
Imagine 5,000 people trying to tweet all at once.
Yeah. And I think this was actually a lot more than 5,000, but it was...
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just picking a number because it's easier.
Because we tried to send some of the pictures out, and it would just sit, or actually we texted, too, and there
I
was
think a, we texted a message or yeah, something, yeah.
And it went out at the end of the day, practically, but yeah, so, you know, these are all things just to be aware of, and I think overall the show is really cool. I mean, we enjoyed seeing everything we did. There's some things that... If they were just to tweak it a little bit, like the security thing and maybe the way that the panels are handled.
And maybe boost the air conditioning by like 100%.
Yeah, that was the other thing too. There's all those people in there.
Yeah, it was getting warm.
But just to, you know, deal with some of these things that none of them would be too hard to really address could really improve the experience for everybody that's out there.
Absolutely.
So that was our feeling on the downsides and upsides. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about some of the people we met and just ran into on the site and what our impressions were with that. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back for User Friendly as we are just finishing up our live show from the San Diego Comic-Con this year. And with the idea of saving the best for last, which was definitely the people we met there, let's go ahead and dive right into that. Gretchen, who did you meet and what did you think of them?
Well, actually, there was a set of Jedi that we ran into in the crossroads of the big floor. And they were really nice. They just kind of chatted with us. The guy, he was tall. I wanted to go, hey, we should recruit you to become a Wookiee, you know?
Was he as tall as Peter Mayhew?
He could have been.
In the photos, Bill, your head is at his shoulder.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember that.
The guy was tall, and it's like, I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, wow, he'd make a great Wookiee. You know, no stilts or anything. But they were really nice people, and they just sat there and chatted with us while Jeremy went off and hunted for something.
You guys chatted and took photos long enough for me to walk to the end of the aisle, buy the pins, and come back.
All I remember from that was lots and lots and lots of pictures.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We were just taking lots and lots of pictures. So that was really cool. Who else did you meet?
There was also the fellow from, let's see, what was the name of that booth? Stuff of Dreams?
Oh, the Stuff of Dreams booth, yeah.
He was really nice. And one of the, he was really freaked out. Mm-hmm. He had a hard time like looking at me because it's like, the costume really bothered him. And then there was another booth where it was like an art setup where they had mostly Star Trek artwork, but it was science fiction oriented. They had other things as well. And there was a younger gal in there that she just couldn't look at me either. There's something about the Nihilus costume that just freaks some people out.
I agree with that. There is something about the mask, especially. It's just like, it's a completely dark robes and then this mask.
There's no face, yeah. And then there were a lot of people who would come and ask, oh, can I have your picture? You know, and they were really polite about it. Just the regular people. They were really nice.
Yeah, there were a lot of really nice people that we just talked to. I mean, we didn't get to talk to any celebrities or meet anybody, but all the regular people we talked to were really nice.
One of the interesting people that I know we ran into, and I'm going to save the name for hopefully we can get him on the show, but was one of the actual programmers on the Knights of the Old Republic game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of interesting to be able to actually have that conversation. And he was with their public relations department, so hopefully we'll be able to pin him down. And the other one along those same lines was from a group that are doing a production company, but it's run by the fans.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And he was interested. And they had just gotten done with this huge thing with Stan Lee and the presentation with him and all that kind of thing. And looked like something that's going to be very interesting. And I believe they're making a movie or a television show. So hopefully we'll be able to get him on the show next season probably at this point and see what they were doing as well. But it was, again, just a lot of fun talking to these people.
Yeah, it was a really great time.
So I would say, what are your overall feelings? I think I enjoyed the time there.
I really enjoyed it. I got to see all the cool stuff that's coming out, and I didn't have to rely on any other people or any other, you know, bad photographs or bad descriptions of stuff that I wanted to see. I had a good time.
I'd say it was definitely a learning experience. Yeah.
It was not what I expected, but I say that in a positive way. It was very different than what I anticipated. So our next big show that we're going to be doing in Southern California is going to be WonderCom, which is going to be 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see the difference between the two, because I know that the production is similar. But from what I understand, there are a lot more cosplayers at that one and some other things. So seeing that will be very, very interesting. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
Seems like these shows are mainly in the first half of the year. And as we go into the fall, there just aren't as many. I don't know why, but...
maybe it's just too warm.
It seems like, well... And one of the other ones was the big producer of them was Wizard Worlds, but they've really cut back their schedule this year.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff that they were doing in the fall is either now on the East Coast or not being produced anymore.
And all the really cool stuff like up in the Pacific Northwest, that's all like spring.
Yeah. Yeah, Emerald City, which is another one we're going to be looking at going to next year up in Seattle. That would be fun.
Yeah.
That will be fun.
Yeah, you know, the different things and different stuff. And, of course, the one that is happening this fall that we've had on the show in the past is the Snake River Comic Con coming up at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I think, is going to be very, very unique. There's a lot of pride that's going into that production,
mm-hmm.
but in a very different way than you see even at, like, San Diego with themed rooms and in just a very, what sounds like a unique setup. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that actually plays out.
Yeah.
And the people that are running it have been absolutely incredible. And I just, I think that one could be really cool too. So, all right. Well, any final words of closing?
Nope.
Well, then on that note, we shall close. This has been a fun one. Finishing up here with our live from San Diego Comic-Con. Next week, we are going to have our last show for season four, and then we are taking a little break during the month of August. We'll come back the week after Labor Day. We're going to have some best of segments that will be on the air. We're not going to be doing too much with the podcast on the actual show, but there might be some special stuff coming up and maybe another video podcast. I think Bill's going to be doing some more of his gaming in depth. We've got the second one that went up last week, and that's all very interesting, especially for gamers that really get into the details of stuff that I didn't know you could get quite that detailed on. So listening to it, I actually learned a lot and some of the specifics. And last week, what was really interesting was the game that he did, how their same game has differences based on the platform you're playing it on, gives you a different experience. So unique things out there that I wouldn't have known otherwise. So we'll have that during August, and we will be back with you next week and then after Labor Day. This is User Friendly, one User Friendly on Facebook, one User Friendly on Twitter, userfriendlyshow.com online. Jump on, let us know what you think. Send us your ideas, send us your questions, and we'll be back soon.
User Friendly is copyright 2017, User Friendly Media Group, Inc., all rights reserved. Music used under license. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of User Friendly Media Group, Inc., or this station.